Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. It's often difficult to see the part we play in the problems we have with others. Today's show, Self-Love and Boundaries Build Healthy Relationships, speaks to a very common problem people have. Many of us have trouble differentiating between the concepts of kindness and overpleasing. Are you someone with a generous nature who loves to give to others, but often feels taken for granted? Perhaps you've asked yourself the following questions. Why am I so giving to others, yet I'm always getting stepped on or rejected? Why don't others ever appreciate what I do for them? Why do I always find myself being taken advantage of? If you're always giving and it seems like others are always ungraciously taking, you've probably attributed it to thoughtlessness or rudeness on their part. Maybe you've thought about finding new friends, distancing yourself from your family, changing jobs, or relocating. You've probably wondered if you're doing something wrong, but keep coming back to the belief that generosity is a virtue, that it is a beautiful thing to give of oneself. After all, isn't that what God wants us to do? Generosity is a beautiful thing. We should all give freely to one another without expectation or the need for reciprocity. So it goes to follow that others should accept what we give graciously and respectfully. When they don't, it is their fault, right? There will always be givers and there will always be takers. Though it does seem unfair, there certainly are people who go through life using and taking advantage of others. There are selfish people who feel entitled. There are lazy people who just don't want to make the effort. It takes all kinds of people to make the world go round. Good-hearted people want to believe that the rest of the world is good-hearted too. They always want to give others the benefit of the doubt, and they should, until they are shown otherwise. Once someone shows their true colors, it's up to us to decide how far we want to extend ourselves. If we continue to extend ourselves to people who have previously used us or taken advantage of us, that's a choice we make, and we must be willing to accept the consequences. can't then turn around and lament that we give, and they take. We can't blind ourselves to the reality before our eyes and then blame others for not meeting our expectations. Everything we do in life is done by choice. We all make choices and we all set limits. Though our personal potential is limitless, our behavior and the way we define our physical world is not. Try to imagine living a life with no limits. What about a society with no limits? No rationally minded person can conceive of either of those things. It would be sheer chaos. Limits bring order to our world. We initially learn limitations from our parents or caretakers. Besides love, the most important emotional responsibility they have to their children is to encourage and guide them with positivity and support through each developmental stage of autonomy. Parents who have clear and healthy limitations are most likely to raise children who have the same. These limitations are more commonly known as emotional boundaries. The clearer one's emotional boundaries are, the happier and more successful they will be in life. If we're healthy in this area, we know where we let off and others begin in terms of our relationships. Many of us do not know whether the emotional boundaries in our lives are healthy or not. We only know what we know. How we live is how we live. We have no other perspective of life unless we actively seek it. That is why many people suffer lifelong emotional pain and never understand why. I grew up in a family with poorly defined and ever-changing boundaries. There was total emotional enmeshment. My individuality and that of my two sisters was only as established as our mother would allow. Our feelings only mattered if they aligned with her feelings and needs. Otherwise, they were discounted. Our father was also wrapped up in trying to please her, so we were left to emotionally fend for ourselves. As a result of my upbringing, I had little self-esteem. I was an approval seeker with little sense of self. For many years, I relied on everyone else to tell me who I was. I spent most of my adult life riddled with resentment, pain, and guilt, but I didn't know why. I felt responsible for everyone else's life while putting my own on the back burner. It made me feel crazy most of the time. Still, I thought all families were like mine, and I knew of no other way to be. My adult interpersonal relationships were disastrous. I allowed others way too much access into my thoughts and feelings. I tried to make everyone happy. As a result, people trampled all over me, and I felt miserable. I just didn't know why. The concept of boundaries was entirely foreign to me until I went to a therapist and she explained it to me. With her help, and over time, I managed to separate the functional from the dysfunctional and define my boundaries. My life worked so much better with that structure. All my relationships improved. The pain also went away. Having emotional boundaries is the same thing as having self-esteem. Boundaries are the limits we set in all our relationships that keep us from being needy, over-empathetic, controlling, or overly pleasing. They protect us from emotional abuse, manipulation, or enmeshment with others. If you are someone who often feels unappreciated or underappreciated in your interpersonal relationships, it may be time to look inward as I finally did. It's probably time to examine your own behavior and your boundary system to see what part you play in the mistreatment you are getting from others. Ask yourself this. Are people taking advantage of you because you allow them to? If so, that is a choice you are making. Do you blame others for letting you down when, in actuality, you have given your personal power over to them? That is about self-love and self-respect. You cannot expect others to treat you better than you treat yourself. If you are self-loathing, self-doubting, and negative, you will project those self-concepts outwardly. It will negatively influence how others see you and subsequently treat you. Many people feel guilty when it comes to loving themselves. They think tending to their own needs first is a selfish act. That is not true. To be selfish is to take something away from others and keep it for oneself. Self-love is completely different. Loving ourselves first does not lessen our ability to love others. It increases it. The more love we have for ourselves, the more love we have to give. When our well is full, there is water for others to drink. When it is empty, there is not. Self-love comes first. Everything else follows. Do you believe that you have the right and responsibility to get your needs met? You cannot set limits with others until you identify, acknowledge, understand, and honor your own needs. To be clear on what treatment you will and will not tolerate from others, you must first treat yourself the way you wish to be treated. People who use you do not always set out to hurt you. In fact, your feelings are probably not considered at all. If you don't matter to you, you probably don't matter to them either. Most people who take advantage of others are not calculatingly evil. They're just opportunists. They see an in and they take it. And though it may appear that these people are happy-go-lucky, that often isn't the case. They may be remorseless, but they are not content. Most often they are very insecure and empty. They do not feel good about themselves and therefore cannot feel good about anyone else. Those with good self-esteem have no need to stoop to the level of a user. It is not very becoming. And opportunists are not as strong-willed as they appear. If you pay attention to their other relationships, you'll notice that they do not take advantage of everyone. They are no match for those with clear and enforced boundaries. The only ones they take advantage of are those who allow it. They do it simply because they know they can. There will always be people who try to take advantage of us. It is our responsibility to show others how to treat us, and it is our prerogative to allow or disallow disrespect. If you are waiting for others to see their ways and change them, don't hold your breath. Others may say they will change. They may apologize 1,000 times for their rude behavior. If you buy into their excuses, they will keep making them. Unless they have a solid reason for altering their behavior, they will probably continue doing the same thing. The only way to stop others from walking all over us is through the establishment and maintenance of healthy boundaries. Once limits are set, we must then enforce them in order for them to be effective. People who use others will only change their ways of interacting when their old methods no longer work. That is accomplished by changing the way you interact with them and being consistent in reinforcing your boundaries. Ultimately, the only person you have control over is you. The remedy to this problem is not about forcing others to change. It's about deciding what you will and will not tolerate. The first step in regaining your power is recognizing that you lack clear boundaries and acknowledging that they are impeding your ability to be happy and or successful. Do not feel bad about setting limits. The truth is that you have already set them. The problem is that the limits you set are backwards. That's why you don't feel right about them. They benefit others instead of benefiting you. You have determined that you will always be kind and giving to everyone, regardless of how they treat you. That is a limitation you have placed on yourself. You have determined that you will tolerate the mistreatment. That is a limitation you have placed on yourself. Perhaps you are hung up on the part about living life in a way that benefits you, about loving yourself. If so, you probably equate self-love with self-worship, but they are two entirely different things. Self-worship is selfish and ugly. It is arrogant, prideful, and egotistical. Self-love, on the other hand, is a beautiful thing. Are you not supposed to be thankful and grateful for the person God made you? Are you not supposed to appreciate the gift of life you've been given by respecting yourself, taking care of yourself, and protecting yourself? Well, we're at that point. We're about halfway through the show, so I'm going to take a brief break, and I will continue this discussion immediately following the one-minute musical interlude featuring the band Love Shadows' song, There's a Better Way. Enjoy, stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Discussion, self-love, and boundaries build healthy relationships. Think about the clergy and leaders you love and respect. Now ask yourself what characteristics they have that you respect the most. Are they generous, loving, and unselfish? Are they solid in their moral fortitude? Are they clear in their expectations of others? Are they trustworthy? They probably set excellent examples of how others should live their lives. That is why people revere them so. Do you think these humanitarians lack self-respect or boundaries? Are they easily taken advantage of, wishy-washy in their dealings with others, or easily swayed? Do they fail to take care of themselves? No. Chances are their positive attributes did not come naturally. It probably took a great deal of work to get that way. But they are lovable and respectable because they love and respect themselves. Self-love comes before all else. When you love yourself, you have a love pool to dip from and pour onto others. Once you recognize where your problem is coming from, the second step involves addressing the problem and taking steps to correct it. In other words, learning how to love yourself. If self-love does not come naturally to you, don't fret. Like any other skills, it will take time to master, but it will definitely improve with practice. Nothing is going to change overnight. It's a gradual process of successes and failures. Self-awareness takes time to develop, so be gentle with yourself while you make this transition. Start by paying attention to what the voice in your head is telling you. Does it say that you are someone who is not deserving, unlovable, a failure, or worthless? Recognize that these old messages are preventing you from enjoying life. Any thoughts that do not serve you well should be replaced by ones that do. But don't overwhelm yourself. It's important for you to feel successful, so just work on changing one thought at a time. Reaching your goal is not about achieving perfection. Small successes are just as worth celebrating as big ones are. Be sure to pat yourself on the back whenever you reach your goals. Learn to celebrate yourself. If you have spent your life trying to please everyone but yourself, now is the time to change. You cannot live your life for others and be happy. You must always be true to yourself. Make decisions based on what you think is right, not what someone tells you is right. There's an unsettling feeling whenever we go against our intuition, so learn to trust yours for guidance. You are a unique package of thoughts, perspectives, tastes, and talents. No one has, is, or will ever be like you. You cannot realistically compare yourself with others to see how you measure up. You are not a clone. What is right for one person is not necessarily right for you. Learn to value the wonderful things about you that make you different than others. The only person you should ever measure up to is yourself in order to gauge the progress you're making in accomplishing your goals. And what are your goals? We all have hopes and dreams that we have set on the back burner or given up on, but it's never too late to revisit them. Nothing makes us feel better about ourselves than accomplishment does. It helps if we have people in our life that love and encourage us to reach our dreams. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. We are all subject to negative influences in our lives, faithless, pessimistic people who dampen our spirits and try to squash our dreams, people who make their decisions based on fear. The influence of their fear is a powerful force that feeds into our own self-doubt. It can be very hard to tune out. I experience that on a regular basis. I know how hard it is to focus on the positive when surrounded by constant negativity. To counteract that destructive force, I surround myself with as many positive thinking, supportive people as I can. There are three people in my life that I can always count on to cheer me on, and dozens of people who do not. I focus on the few to keep me going. They are invaluable to my success. I used to let the majority influence my decisions. I absorbed the fears and negativity of others and allowed them to stand in my way. That's not uncommon. Many of us allow fear to block our success. If self-induced fear is holding you back from achieving something you want, I strongly encourage you to face it, deal with it, and move forward. It is a very empowering feeling to rise above our fears, and it is a huge confidence builder. If you're getting the impression that learning to love yourself involves all work and no play, rest assured that it does not. Self-love can just as easily be accomplished by taking a bubble bath or a nap or relaxing with a book and a cup of tea. Self-love is about allowing ourselves to indulge ourselves, about enjoying the time we spend with ourselves. It's about eating healthy foods and taking care of our bodies. It's about setting time aside from everything else to be alone with contemplation, meditation, or prayer. It's about decorating our personal spaces in ways that make us happy, planting a garden, singing out loud, whether our voice is good or not, or listening to our favorite music over and over again if we want to. Self-love is also about giving, volunteering our time to help those who truly are in need, or loving and caring for animals. These are gestures that make us feel good inside and good about ourselves. Once you learn how to love and appreciate yourself, you will need to begin setting comfortable and appropriate boundaries that nourish and protect you. If you've never stood up for yourself or communicated to others what you find tolerable and what you do not, this will initially feel very strange. Don't worry. Before long, it will become second nature. People pleasers find it very hard to say no. They feel guilty about it. They feel like they're being selfish and rude to the other person. That's because they second guess the other person's expectations. They fail to realize that people on the other end expect limitations and boundaries. In fact, they most likely impose them on others on a regular basis. It makes people very uncomfortable when they do not know where they stand with you. If they push the limits with you, it's only because they do not know what the limits are, or they don't believe you will bother to enforce them. We all understand that psychology when it comes to children, but we fail to understand that adults function the same way. Never assume that others know your boundaries. If in doubt, or when the situation calls for it, don't be afraid to state them. Just do it calmly and politely. In communicating your needs to someone else, be firm, consistent, and unemotional. Do not offer elaborate explanations or allow a discussion about it. You do not have to justify your stance. You're entitled to set whatever boundaries you need to be safe and happy. So is the other person. They didn't consult with you when determining their own boundaries, and you don't have to consult with them when it comes to yours. No negotiations. And be sure to clearly communicate the consequences for violating your boundaries. This is especially necessary when you know that the person is a limit pusher. Specifically and firmly state the consequences for crossing over the line. If you do A, I will do B. If someone tends to call and be verbally abusive, let them know that if they do it, you will hang up the phone and then follow through. Do it. They may not take the hint at first, but if you consistently hang up, they will eventually get the message that that kind of behavior is unacceptable. And if they want to speak to you, they better stop doing it. It is important to verbally communicate the consequences. If you are one who fears verbal confrontations and instead just exacts the consequences without stating your position, your position will be lost. Your cowardice will show through loud and clear. Be direct. Your actions may confuse them, but your words will not. Be crystal clear. Now, let's revisit the questions I posed at the beginning of the show. Are you someone with a generous nature who loves to give to others but often feels taken for granted? Have you ever asked yourself, why am I so giving to others, yet I'm always getting stepped on and or rejected? Why don't others ever appreciate what I do for them? Why do I always find myself being taken advantage of? I hope, after listening to this show, you've gained an understanding of the part you play in these unbalanced relationships. Once you understand and make the necessary adjustments, you will never need to ask those questions again. It's very important that each of us establishes and reinforces boundaries in all our relationships. And it is crucial that we each learn to love ourselves. When we have clearly defined boundaries and a healthy self-esteem, we know how to recognize the signs of physical and emotional abuse, and we know when to leave an abusive relationship. We can have healthy friendships without being a user or always being used, or a bully, or someone that is always being bullied. We can set limits with our parents and family members to keep them from pushing our emotional buttons or crossing the line. We can define how we choose to be respected in the workplace and in all other dealings of our life. Since boundary issues are at the root of so many problems, I urge you to examine yourself to see if this type of deficiency is impacting your life and your relationships. Making these changes will make your life much happier and your relationships much more fulfilling. It's well worth the effort. Well, I'm sorry to say that we're out of time, but if you have questions, feel free to email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com. Or you can leave comments on my website. And please stop by to visit me on my Facebook page, Randy G. Fine, and like me. If you enjoy listening to my shows, please become a show follower. More followers will get this show the recognition that it deserves. Visit my blog at randygfine.com for even more inspiration and join the list of devoted followers there. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host and author Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.